Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We're going to pick up our study in verse 20. And I titled the message, "We Can't Live the Life Until We First Possess It." It's all about being a Christian. In the sermon that we're about to get into this morning, Jesus is going to make the point that if you really want to have a blessed life. Let me just get this done before I even start teaching. How many of you want a blessed life from God? Let me see your hands. All right. We're good. He's going to make the point, your life isn't going to be blessed by things that you can get or by something that you could do. He's going to teach us a valuable lesson. The only way you can have a blessed life is by having a godly character. It's the only way. It's the only way. I mean, the scripture is clear. Dead sinners cannot obey God. We know that. Dead sinners cannot obey God. Why? Because they're spiritually dead. They haven't been born again. They don't know Jesus. They don't have a personal relationship with Him. The only way a person can obey God is by first being born again. And then, at that moment, that individual can receive not only God's life, but also His character. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew really went into depth. When we studied the Gospel of Matthew, we got in depth in Matthew chapters 5, 6, 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Here, Luke's giving us a little bit of a drive-by on it. He's just highlighting on it. And you know what I love about this? Jesus is speaking about the life and character believers should be living. It's what we should be living. I mean, that's why Jesus threw down. He threw down in this sermon. He didn't hold anything back. He just laid it straight out there. Here it is. You want to be blessed? Man, this is what you got to do. It's what you got to do. He focused on something we all deal with. I think this is going to hit home with all of us. And that's attitudes. Anybody in here have an attitude problem this morning? Few people do? Okay, we're going to do some adjusting today during the service. Well, should say Jesus is going to do some adjusting on our attitudes. 4 points I want to bring out if you're taking notes that will help you later on when you can look back at this. The first point is our attitude toward circumstances. Toward circumstances. The second point, our attitude towards people. Come on. The third one is our attitude towards ourselves. And fourth and lastly, my fourth point is our attitude towards God. Our attitude towards God. 4 things we need to do if we want to be happy. Number one, right off the top, you have to have faith in God. You have to have faith in God. Secondly, we're to show love towards others. I know that's hard. I know that's not always easy. But we're to show love towards others. We're going to get into this in our study this morning. Thirdly, this one might hurt a little bit. This one might take a little spiritual surgery. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves. And then fourthly, there has to be obedience towards God. There has to be obedience. Point number one, our attitude towards circumstances. Look at verse 20. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes toward his disciples, and he said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, for Jesus' sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For indeed your reward," notice this church, "is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you've received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. What we need to keep in mind, like for so many today, man, life was really tough for the people. It was tough. It was hard. There wasn't much hope that their circumstances would ever get better. Maybe you find yourself in that place this morning. Rick, I don't know this is ever going to get better. Here's the problem I see with people today. Too many of them think happiness comes from having a lot of stuff, having a lot of possessions. They think it comes by being in a position of authority. If I just had the authority, I'd be good. No, you wouldn't. You'd want more. They think it comes from having the pleasures and popularity that only money can buy. That only money can buy. I got to tell you, man, in reading this sermon and studying it, people in Jesus' day were blown away when they heard him say happiness was just the opposite of what they were thinking. It was just the opposite of what they were thinking. Guys, this morning we need to realize what people need more than anything isn't a change in their circumstances. Did you hear me? What people need more than anything is not a change in their circumstances. What they need is a change in their relationship to God. They need a change in their outlook towards life. That's what people need today. I mean, here, Jesus wasn't teaching that poverty, hunger, persecution were blessings in themselves. I mean, if that's what he was teaching, he would never have reached out to those who were suffering and helped them. He would have never done that. This is where it hits home. Jesus was describing the attitudes we need to have if we're ever to experience the blessings that come with being a Christian. The attitude that we need to have if we're to experience the blessings that come with being a Christian. Of course, we need to do what we can to help others in a material, physical way. Sure, of course we need to help them. But remember, no amount of things, you could get them everything you want to get them from A to Z. No amount of things will ever substitute for a personal, close relationship with Jesus Christ. Get them all the things you want. Ain't going to make a difference unless that relationship is 100% spot on. That's why in Matthew's gospel, Matthew said, blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, man. He wasn't glorifying material poverty. You know what Jesus was calling for? He was calling for a brokenness of heart in a person to where they will admit their life is one of spiritual poverty. That they're spiritually bankrupt. Oh, they know Jesus. Oh, they know the word. But here's where they fall short. They're not living the life. That's why there's no joy. They're not living the life. Hey, we all get hammered. Every one of you could come up here right now and give a testimony of what you're probably dealing with right now or just went through. Every one of you. None of us is perfect, but man, the key is we got to keep trying. You got to keep plunging forward. You can't just stop and turn around and throw your hands up and walk away. Anybody can do that. Man, it takes a Christian It takes a man with a heart after God's own heart and a woman with a heart after God's own heart to be able to say, you know what? He's going to help me through this. Paul didn't give up. Lord, remove this thorn from me. Many believed it could have been his eyes, that his eyes were so bad. Others believe he was such severely hunchback. I mean, we're going to get blown away. Of course, we'll be in our new bodies then. But Paul, many say Paul was not the kind of guy that you would look upon as anything. But man, he was powerful in God. Spiritually, he was the greatest man he could ever be in Jesus, man. God, remove this thorn. Paul, he worked miracles. Remove this thorn from me, Lord. I can't take this no more. Get rid of it or I'm going to do something about it. He didn't say that. We say that. 3 times he sipped the Lord. And the Lord said, you know what, Paul, let me let you in on a clue. Through your suffering, I'm made strong. I'm made strong when you're weak, Paul. That's why you're going through this, because you need to be stronger. And if you're relying on me, your strength is coming from me, you can make this. And Paul said, all right, cool. Then I will rejoice in tribulations for your sake. That's the attitude we need. That's the attitude. The prophet Isaiah laid this out back in Isaiah. No doubt, the Sermon on the Mount in the Old Testament. Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. You see, our Lord's emphasis goes back to what? The condition of the heart. What comes out of your mouth is coming from your heart. So when we speak out loud, we're showing everybody the condition of our heart by what's coming out of it. It's not on outward circumstances. It's not on outward circumstances. Think about it. Jesus suffered persecution. Every one of his disciples suffered persecution. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to suffer persecution. I mean, as Christians, we really have a tough time finding joy when people attack us. Can I get an amen? But here's what we forget. It's a privilege to suffer for Christ's sake. Remember what Paul wrote to the church in Philippi? Philippians 3:10? He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of what? His sufferings, being conformed to his death. You see, when people treat us the way they treated Jesus, it's evidence that we are trying to live as Jesus lived. And instead of taking offense to it, how about consider it as a compliment? A compliment, especially when you consider all the believers through the last 2,000 years, throughout the church, dispensation and age, have gone through the same things we go through. Every one of them have. They were all treated this way. Let me refresh your memory this morning on this one fact. You ready for it? God promises a special reward for those who are faithful to him. You know what that tells us, church? You know what that tells us? It tells us the best is yet to come, man. The best is yet. You know, whenever you're going through something, think this. This is what I do. And this is the only thing that can bring me down and hold me where I need to be. Is this going to matter when we're in eternity? This little thing, is this going to matter when we're in eternity? No. Here's the skinny. If you want wealth and nothing but fun and popularity, let me tell you this morning, you can get it. You can get it. But I want you to know this, according to God's word, it does come with a price. It does come with a price, and that's all you're going to get. That's what Jesus is saying here. I mean, don't get me wrong. Jesus didn't say these things were wrong. He pointed this out. Being satisfied with these things is its own judgment. It is its own judgment. H.H. Farmer wrote, "To Jesus, the terrible thing about having wrong values in life and pursuing wrong things is not that you are doomed to bitter disappointment, but that you are not. Not that you do not achieve what you want, but that you do." You guys following me with this? When people are satisfied with the lesser things of life, the good instead of the best, they end up as failures. They end up as failures. They're spiritually bankrupt, and you know what? They don't even realize it. Try telling somebody with Alzheimer's that they have Alzheimer's. Try telling somebody with dementia that they have dementia. They'll call you a liar to your face. No, I don't. You see, they can't see it, but everybody else can. This is the point here. Life is built on character. Character is built on what? The decisions that we make. But decisions are based on values. And Jesus is pointing out that values have to be based on faith. They have to be based on faith. Church, the reason why we enjoy what God gives us is because we live our lives with eternity in view. We live our lives with eternity in view. Point number two. Hold on to your toes on this one because they might get stepped on. Our attitude towards others. Look at verse 27. Jesus said, "But I say to you, here, love your enemies." What? What? It's like that Allstate commercial where the guy goes, "Yeah, I'm a car thief. I'm going to steal your car." What? He's looking at his phone. "Do good to those who hate you." What are you talking about, Jesus? "Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, knock the dude out." Is that what Jesus said? Man, go to blows. Throw down with him, man. "From him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. To him who strikes you on the cheek," or actually, "from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back." Here's the point. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back." And so Jesus lays it out. "But love your enemies. Do good, lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. This is where faith comes in, man. Because when we go through these things, we want to take care of business, right? Come on. I know I did. Back in my days, biker days, you bet. Who's that punk think he is, man, to rip us off? Let's go get him. Isn't that how Satan had us as puppets? Crazy. Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind. Notice, God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Are you guys getting this? God is kind to those people. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Notice, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Jesus knew. Jesus was God. He is God. He knew that anyone who would try their best to live for eternal values is going to get in trouble with the people in the world. He knew that. I mean, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look how they treated him. If they treated our Lord that way, you don't think they're going to treat us the same way? What did Jesus refer to us as? How about the salt of the earth? Come on. How about the light of the world? It only makes sense that sometimes salt is going to sting. It just makes sense. Sometimes that salt is going to sting. The light, you're going to be talking to a non-believer and you're going to be sharing the light, and that light is going to expose their sin, man. It's just going to happen. We're living in a world that shows its hatred by what? They avoid us. They reject us. They insult us. They physically abuse us. The world will go to any length to tear us down, church, and I'm here to tell you, they want to get rid of us. They want to get rid of the Christians. So what is the Lord's point in all this? Hold on to your chairs. This one's going to be a heavy one. It's something we should expect. It's something we should expect. He went through it, we're going to go through it. But where's our heart? Where's our attitude when we do go through it? How do we deal with it? I'm sure this was a slam to everyone who was listening. No doubt, especially to those who have studied Scripture throughout the age of the church. Let's get down to the basics here again. Let's get down to the foundation. How are we to treat our enemies? Number one, we love them. I know it's hard. It runs across everything that we think, right? We love them. Number two, we do good to them. That one's hard for me. It's like, that dude just did that to me. There's not a chance, Lord. Get another brother to do good to him. I'm going to smack him down, man. Smack down. Isn't that the flesh? Isn't that us? Do good to them. Thirdly, which I would put first, pray for them. Pray for them. I know you guys have seen people who were filled with hatred. You've seen people in your life who were just filled with hatred. What did that hatred do? It only bred more hatred. You see, when you have that much hatred for somebody, you know what happens? You're not only hurting them, but even more than that, you're hurting yourself. Because look at where your heart has to be now to carry that out. Look how terrible and how drenching your life now is because of that hatred for someone else. It just, man, Jesus is making this clear to us. James 1, verse 19 and 20 says, "So then, my beloved brethren," he's talking to the church, "let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." That's hard. I can go from 0 to 60 in 1 second, man. It's hard. It's tough. "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." I believe it's safe to say, if we have learned anything in our life, we've learned that we can't do this on our own strength. Amen? We can't do it on our own strength. It can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is where you let the Holy Spirit move in your life. You let Him show. You let Him light it up instead of your flesh. Let me give you a familiar scripture. Galatians 5, verse 22 to 26. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." Here's the hardy. "Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness." Here's another hard one. "Self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Here's what it comes down to. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Man, my prayer is God gives us today the fruit of the Spirit. I want that so desperately in my life. I want people to see that in my walk. It describes the attitude of the heart that shows itself in a positive way when everybody else is negative. It shows generosity when others are what? Stinking selfish. And you know why we do it? We do it all for what? The glory of God. All for His glory, man. It's hard to bite the tongue and not say nothing. We want to open up and just lay it out, right? We want to get that little flame going. You ever see a couple come to church in the morning and the one's hair is singed? Guess what happened on the way? That flame just shooting out. She or he comes in and the hair, "What's that smell? Oh, my hair got a little singed." We had a talk. "Well, did you throw a couple of hot dogs on, you know?" We treat others as we want them to treat us. Guys, not only do we want the best spiritually for ourselves, we're to imitate our Heavenly Father, and Jesus said, "Show mercy." You know, I was sitting there studying, and a scripture came to my mind yesterday. The Lord took me straight to James chapter 2, verse 13. Listen to this, you guys. I took this as God was giving it to me. "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let me say that again. Judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. In other words, we shouldn't be looking for vindication before our enemies. We shouldn't be looking for that. We're to be like God in our character. We're to be Christ-like. What would Jesus do? 1 Peter 2, verses 18 to 21. "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." What was Peter's, what's Pete saying here? We mean also to the harsh, Pete. For this is commendable. If because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Has anybody ever suffered wrongfully? For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? When I knew I deserved a spanking from dad or mom, I took it patiently. I didn't want spanking, but I took it. Hey, I got this coming. That's the point Peter's making here. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called. Wait a minute, Rick, time out. We mean to this I was called. Well, hold on. Let me finish the scripture here before you jump all over me. I know I'm jumping all over me. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Church, there it is. There it is, man. With everything we might be dealing with today, our attitude should be with having eternity in view. Hey, this is going to pass. This is going to be gone. When we're standing there at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the Bema seat of Jesus, the rewards are being handed out. We're going to go, man, right on, right on. All those little arguments, all those little conflicts were nothing, nothing compared to eternity and what we've got to look forward to. You see, this is what I have to drill inside of my brain. I have to drill that in. It's not going to matter in eternity. Jesus goes on to say, we'll reap what we sow, and in the amount we sow. If we judge others, I mean, he's distinctly clear on this, we ourselves will be judged. If we forgive, we will be forgiven. But if we condemn, we shall also be condemned. Now, what's he talking about? Is he talking about as a Christian we can be thrown into hell for eternity? Is that what Jesus is saying? No, he's not talking about eternal punishment and judgment. What he's talking about is the way we're treated in this life now. That's what he's talking about. If we live to give, God will see to it that we will receive. Did you guys hear me? I'm not talking about, you know, blab it and grab it, name it and claim it. You know, it's mine in Jesus' name. Those guys on TV crack me up. In Jesus' name, shut the TV off. But if we live only to get, God will see to it that we lose. That's what he's saying. Point number three, our attitude towards ourselves. Look at verse 39. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher. Who's our teacher? Jesus. But everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the 4x4 plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove that speck in your eye. Come here, bro, you little sinner. Let me remove that. And then you will see clearly. He said, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You see, as Jesus' disciples, we need to be sure that we see clearly enough to guide others in their spiritual walk. We have to check ourselves out. He's referring here to the Pharisees, of course, who were leading the people astray. The problem comes when we see ourselves as being something greater than we are. When we see ourselves as something greater than we are, we don't realize our blindness. Jesus says we're only going to lead people into the ditch, man. I remember growing up as a young Christian, Calvary Chapel, West Covina, something Raul. I mean, Raul taught all the time. He used to say, you can never lead others where you yourself haven't been. You can't do that. It won't happen. In fact, the more we strive to be like Jesus, guess what? The more we are going to realize how short we actually fall ourselves. Instead of looking at everybody else and seeing their faults, if we're really trying to be like Jesus, I'm going to realize how short I fall. I'm not going to get on that person because I know where I'm at, God. I know I need to be tighter with you, man. Jesus is warning against pride. Pride. Because nothing will blind a person like pride. It's being honest with ourselves. And Jesus is saying, if you will not be honest with yourself, then you are a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. I mean, not only does he bring this out, but I have learned and seen through the years, people who are continually criticizing others, listen to me, church, are usually guilty of something worse in their own lives. The illustration of the tree is that fruit is always true to character. Fruit is always true to character. An apple tree produces what? Does anybody know that? Apples. It doesn't produce grapes, right? Pistachios. I love pistachios. And a good person produces good fruit, not evil. As believers, we need to understand this. Every one of us sin. Do you guys know that? Are you guys fully aware of that? That we're sinners? Well, with that in mind, the witness of our words and works should be consistently good to God's glory. That's what Jesus is saying. It should be good to his glory. When it comes to ministry, those who are faithful, I'm telling you, if I've learned anything in ministry, I've also learned this. Those who are faithful will reproduce themselves in other people. They'll reproduce themselves in other people. Those who are also true to the Lord. That's why Jesus is saying what comes off the lips depends on what's inside the heart. You listen to a person for 5 to 10 minutes. They lay their heart right out there through their mouth. You know exactly where they're at. What we speak reveals what is in our heart. A man who apologized for swearing by saying, well, it really wasn't in me. A friend said, really, it had to be in you or it couldn't have come out of you. That's true, right? We have to be honest with ourselves. I got to check myself out continually, man, and be honest with myself. I mean, there are things that blur our vision. These areas we have to deal with, church. Then we can be used of the Lord to minister to others and not lead them astray. Brings me to my fourth and last point, our attitude towards God. Look at verse 46. Jesus said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he's like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Notice the emphasis here. It's on obedience. It's on obedience. It's not enough to just hear God's word. It's not enough to just call him, "Hey, Lord." We have to obey what he has commanded us, church. We can't just obey him when we come to church and then go home and live like we want to desire to live. This is a lifetime commitment. This is forever. This is every moment of our life living for him. Amen. Every one of us are builders. We're all builders here this morning. We need to be careful and wise in our building. To build on the rock. That's what God gave me when I started my radio broadcasting. Building on the rock. To build on the rock simply means to obey what God commands us in his word. We're building on Jesus. That's why we study his word, right? To build on the sand means what? To say you're going to obey, but you don't. You don't. Just live your life the way you want to live it. In appearance, we can look like we're building a strong house. But Jesus said, look, if it doesn't have a foundation, it's going to fall. It's going to fall. It won't last. The storm he's speaking about, it's not the white throne judgment. The storms are the tests of life that come to every one of us as Christians who are professing to be a Christian. It's a test that we go through. And they're not going to end until we're with Jesus. So get used to it. Scripture points out, not everyone who professes to know the Lord has a genuine experience of salvation. Granted, they could be active in the church. They could be doing religious things. But if they aren't saved by faith, there is no foundation to their lives. When the difficulties of life come, instead of glorifying the Lord through them, man, I know that's hard. I know that's hard. They walk away from him. And you know what happens to their house? Actually, their testimony falls apart. It falls apart. It gets shredded. That's why Jesus said nobody can call him Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You have to be born again to refer to him as Lord. If Christ is in our hearts, then our mouths will confess him to others. If we are rooted and built up in him, you know what? Our fruit is going to be good, man. It's going to be good. And our house will withstand any storm that the enemy can ever, ever throw against it. We'll be standing. You heard the saying, when the smoke clears, are you going to be standing? Oh, we might have our faults. We might have our failures at times. Everybody does. Here's the key that I want to end with this morning. We're to have a continual witness in our lives that point to Jesus Christ and glorifies him. People should be able to see that walk in our lives, that witness in our lives, because we're living it out on a daily basis. He laid out some important things for us to learn and know here. He did it so we can experience happiness. He did it so that His church can experience true blessings. He wants that in our lives. And you know what? He wants us to realize only He can give it. Only He can give it. The basis for this sermon is a personal saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I got the quote from Harry Ironside. He once said, "We cannot live the life until we first possess it." Until we have it. Now we can live it. And that's what we're living. By His glory and His grace. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.